FM 104.6, online, Ospedia Channel 5, and DAB2. Vectis Radio plays for you.
We listen to Vectis Radio. We've got a special guest, and I didn't know this, but all the way from Birmingham. I can't believe. Just move yourself a little bit closer to that microphone, Charlie. Okay. We've got Charlie Wilde in, and you got in touch a while ago, and you said you wanted to come in. You told me this most amazing story in an email, but I didn't know that you were coming all the way from Birmingham just to appear on the show.
Oh, well, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad that you come. I feel like I should take you out for lunch. I feel like I should do something, because it may come all that way.
Oh, no, it's just a treat to be on the Isle of Wight again.
But you're coming back in a couple of weeks' time as well.
Yeah, coming to do a show at the Ventnor Fringe Festival. My show's on the 25th and the 26th of July. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about tickets later. Well, let's do it now, because otherwise we'll forget. I know what I'm like. So you're playing at the Fringe?
Yeah, Yeah, it's a music and story show with some vintage film in the background at the Ventnor Arts Club, and the tickets are available. I can't exactly remember the link, but it's vfringe.co.uk/something.
Okay, we'll put it on the website.
Thank you.
All right, we'll put it on the website along with the audio that we got here, just in case people miss it. Now, you got in touch and you sent me an email about a book that was connected to stories with your dad. And you've got a violin, you're playing there, and this is all part of the whole thing. Do you want to give us the whole story here?
Yeah, okay. So the book is it's the kind of the culmination of a lot of ideas that I've been having since about 2022. So I had two children, and it was COVID times, and I was a musician, and all of those things didn't really work very well for my career. So I applied for some funding from the Arts Council England, and they sort of helped me get back on my feet with their Developing Your Creative Practice grant, and I came out of it with this beautiful instrument that me and my friend invented together, and I just thought, what am I going to do with it now? So I like to play a lot of traditional music from Ireland and Scotland, but I'm not from there, I'm from the Isle of Wight, and I just thought, what can I do that, you know, is to do with my heritage? And my dad sadly passed away in 2021, and he left me a book with... He was a really good storyteller. He worked on the Isle of Wight Railway in the 1970s, and he left me a book with loads of stories about all the kind of scraps that they got up to when they worked there, and him and his friends. It's a good laugh, and a lot of the stories are very heartwarming. So I took each story, and I composed a little piece of music to go along with all of each story, and I had my friends and family read them out for me aloud to compose to, and that's what it is, really. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I don't know where to start, because it's really strange as well, and I think that's probably the reason when you sent the email, I thought, we've got to get you in, because you're talking about the railway here on the Isle of Wight, and something that we're doing with, strangely enough, where there's a connection here again with Creative Ireland, we're doing a thing called Can You Hear Us? And we're doing a lot of podcasts, and I'm getting some of the kids to do podcasts about what was around this place here where we sit now. It was known as Little London. There would have been a train going through it. Your dad would have probably been, working on this as well.
Yeah.
How incredible is that? And that's how Little London got its name, because trains would come, they would drop off all their wares and so on, and there'd be stuff coming up the river as well in boats. And you think we take all this stuff for granted.
Yeah.
But I read your email, and I thought, we've got to get you in. But I still didn't realise you were coming in all the way from Birmingham. So he would have worked on the trains in the 1970s.
Yeah, he did. He, I think he applied for the guard. I can't remember what he applied for, but he ended up having many, many different jobs there. Parcels office, a guard. I think he was a guard for quite a long time. Night watchman. So all the stories are just kind of like little insights into what life was like there at that time. And I came here on the bus from Ryde this morning with my mum, and she was looking out of the window. Oh, that's where we slept on the walk back from the first Isle of Wight, side of the road. And that's where I fell off my moped. And I just love stories, and just really colours life. And I hope that other people will be able to connect with them as well. And
There are so many stories and so many historical things that have happened here. And like you say, that's lovely to be able to go on a bus and say, that's where I used to do, that's where I used to go to school and so on. How lovely is that?
Yeah.
So look, you've got a book, you've written a book, and you've also turned it into an audio book as well.
Yeah.
So extra points for that. And the family have helped you with that.
They have, yeah. I've had my brother reading a story. My dad's best friends read a story. My great uncle, my dad's brother. So it's a very family-orientated thing. Yeah, my uncle used to work for... He used to own the company Branchline Video, which made train videos. And we're using some of the footage from his video from the 1970s at the Ventnor Fringe show. We're making a little film out of it to go in the background of the music, so it's kind of like a silent movie thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How lovely.
Yeah, everyone's been involved.
So look, you're holding the violin, and where does the music fit in with you? So you're playing music, and is someone else voicing the story?
Yeah, so I got my friends and family to read the stories into their phone. It's a very homegrown thing. They did it into their phone with help from other family members, and then they sent me the stories. And then I got a little four-track recorder for Christmas, and I managed to get the stories onto that, and then I recorded the music kind of on top, or I should probably say underneath the stories. So it'll all be there in the book. There's a little QR code that you can scan that takes you to the audio.
So in a minute, then we're going to be... you're just going to be playing music. You're not going to be doing the story as well.
No, if I'd have thought of that, maybe we could have done, but I didn't think
of it. Well, if you could have given me the script, and I could have done it as well. But next week when you go to the Fringe, or in a couple of weeks' time when you go to the Fringe, you'll hear the words and the music too.
Yeah.
You're going to get the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we backtrack as well? That violin that you're holding in your hand, you said that you and your friend designed. So what's the difference between that and like the average violin then?
Well, it kind of looks like a normal violin, but instead of having four strings, it's got 15. So there are five playing strings on the top, and then it's got a low C string, kind of like a cello. And then it's got 10... They're called sympathetic strings underneath, so you don't actually play those strings, you play the ones on the top, and the ones underneath kind of resonate when you're playing a note that they like.
Okay.
So it kind of creates a very echoey... it was inspired by the something called a Hardanger fiddle from Norway, and also the viola d'amour, which was a Baroque instrument that sort of went out of fashion, and there isn't many things like this about anymore, so... we sort of modernised that idea, and it's kind of like a modern violin, but yeah, it's just a bit more versatile with the tuning as well. You're nothing standard on it. You can change the tuning to whatever you like, which I think helps with being creative when you're thinking about composition. And
is it harder to play?
It is slightly harder. It's a bit bigger. The neck's a bit wider. My hand's quite small, so it's slightly harder, but it's not so bad. Yeah.
Okay. But that's something you designed. You and your friend designed.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
So what are you going to play for us?
I can play the title track from the album. This is a tune that I wrote my dad for his birthday when he was 67. So it's called The Railway Man. And I gave him this for his birthday. And it's kind of the thing that sparked the idea of the project. So.
Okay. Yeah. Brilliant.
Okay. Got palms on the chair.
Thank you.
Wow. That was stunning.
Thank
Absolutely
you.
Stunning. I really love that. It brought a tear to my eye listening to that. And it's such a powerful instrument. And I know that when you were warming up outside, when you were just playing a few notes there, Chloe was here earlier on, and we both stopped what we were doing and started listening and watching and was totally amazed. Our faces must have been a picture. That was beautiful, really. Honestly, really enjoyed that. I hope you're going to play another tune for us. That would be really good.
Yeah.
So this is all part of the book. You don't know when the book's coming out. It's gone off to be pressed. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm hoping it will be within 2 weeks, maybe less. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, and the name of the book is
The Railway Man and Other Stories.
And it's all about your dad, really. Then.
Yeah. So the bulk of the book he's actually written. I think he would have done it himself if he was still here. But yeah, I've taken the stories from the book that he wrote me. Just lots of short stories, and then in between those I've sort of done a bit of a commentary about places on the Isle of Wight and people and how I compose the music that you're hearing while you're reading. And so it's become a bit of it's kind of an essay about like human connection and travel and music and how these things are all linked together.
Come on, is there one particular story that stands out? I'm sure they all do.
The one that I've most recently recorded was called Train Going the Wrong Way Incident, which was when him and his friends used to have a who can be the latest to work competition. So they crashed through the doors of the mess room at 7 a.m. knowing full well that the train was leaving at 7. So he was the guard and his friend was the driver, and they got on the train and they were like, yes, we made it, but which way are we supposed to be going? Didn't know if it was Shanklin or the ride. So they guessed. And you'll have to find out what happens next. But
there's stories that they're true stories, and they're stories that have happened to him whilst he was the railway man, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long was he a railway man for?
I think he worked on the Isle of Wight Railway until the early 1990s.
Right.
And then he got stationed in Fratton. And then he left the railway. He retired early and became a councillor. So, like, not the councillor, like, for the county council, the other type. Yeah.
Proper work. Sorry. Oh, wow. Yeah. What a lovely thing, though. That's a lovely legacy as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
All those stories are preserved in a book, some audio. So which came first? And the stories would have been there. So how did you get the idea? Why did you think, right, we'll put some music to it?
It was really when I got this violin and I thought, well, it's unique. It's no one else has got this. What am I going to do? I didn't want to play anyone else's music. I wanted my own. So I looked to the stories just as an exercise, really, and inspiration. I've done some work with theatre before, and as a musician, coming on and sort of playing to the monologue that their character was saying. And I really love doing that, like playing for storytellers. So it just started out as a bit of an exercise, but then I really got in touch with quite a few people, especially Isle of Wight people. They've been so supportive. Like, I ended up with a demo of the stories with the music underneath, and I sent it round to a few people, like the Creative Island and the Community Rail Partnership, and one of my dad's friends who lives here, Maggie Sorkin. She's an author, a writer who lives here, and everyone's just been so like supportive and giving me ideas, really. And then I didn't really know what to do with it. I kind of thought it would be an installation somewhere, like with the film in the background and then the stories being heard, maybe for the museum or something. But then someone got in touch with me from the Ventnor Fringe and said this would be a really good idea for a show. So then I turned it into a show, and then the book was just came from that, really. So just one thing's led to the other with the help of so many supportive, encouraging people. It's been amazing.
How wonderful.
Yeah, really.
It's a lovely
journey.
Story. What do you think you'd make of it?
I think he'd... Yeah, my mum actually was like, never do it to me. Like, she grew up in the Stoke-on-Trent Potteries, and she's got some brilliant stories of her own, but she was like, she's very shy, that's why she's not here. She's going for a coffee on her own. Yeah, she was like, never do it to me. But my dad would have loved it, I'm sure. And because he died in 2021, and we were all in lockdown for his funeral, so there were only hardly any people there. And it was really nice, but... yeah, I think this is a good legacy, and it's brought people together. I've been speaking to people who we used to work with, and you know, it's encouraged people to think back to their own memories, and everyone's got a story. And
you're preserving his stories, but you're also, you know, merging your music and other people's voices at the family. I just think that's a wonderful, wonderful tribute, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. So are you going to play for us again?
Yeah, I can do, yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Wow, you are so talented. That is so good. I'm really enjoying this. I can't wait to listen back as well on some big old powerful speakers and so on. It's wonderful. It really is. So when did you first pick up a violin and start playing it?
I learnt the piano when I was a young child, but I struggled to practice it and put in the work needed to get anywhere. And then when I was a early teens, I think maybe 14, it was early 2000s, and it was about the time where, like, do you remember the Corrs? They were really popular,
yeah, yeah.
And there was Bewitch, and there was a lot of people playing fiddle in pop music, Top of the Pops, and I just really loved all that, and I just begged my parents to let me have a violin, and they said, oh, well, I don't know, you can borrow one from school. So I went to the school pile of violins, and there was just, like, all broken and, like, strings hanging off. So they took me to Courtney and Walker in Southsea, the music shop there, and I got my first violin. And then I was lucky enough to have an amazing violin teacher at school called Joyce Ingledew, and she was from Scotland, and she taught me... Folk music's what I really love, and I was lucky to get her, I think, to guide me in that way. And got really into folk music, went to festivals and stuff with my family, and yeah.
You can't help but hear a bit of Irish.
It's
just one of those instruments.
Yeah.
I hear, and you see programmes, and you see, it's probably one of the hardest things to play, because if you don't play it right, it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a violin teacher as well at schools. I teach in a lot of, where I live in Worcestershire, there's first schools, so it's all children under the age of 10 really, and Yeah, some of their parents, they don't let them take their violin out of the car. They've got to stay there. We don't want to listen to it. And my mum loved music and she always wanted to play the flute, and she had a recorder when she was younger, but her parents said, you have to practice in the shed. And yeah, you've got to push through to...
That's sad, isn't it, when you hear that?
Yeah.
I hear so many kids playing London's Burning.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate thing that they would learn, wasn't it? But how incredible. Just so people can get a connection with you, because you're actually from the Isle of Wight, and moved away. So when you were here on the Isle of Wight, where did you grow up?
I lived in Ryde, Palmead, and went to nursery school. I think it was Wootton, the Montessori, and what else did we do? Yeah, we were quite a big part of the railway community. I remember they used to have lots of things on for the kids. They used to do a disco, and they used to have like a train at Christmas that Father Christmas would drive, and he'd go through all the stations on the island and pick up the kids of the people who worked on the railway and take them all to a massive Christmas party. It was such good times.
Oh wow. So these stories are just lovely to hear, because I say I've heard loads of stories, but nothing too much about the railway, which is great. So you have found something unique. And it's a wonderful tribute to your dad, and it's just, I can't wait for the book to come out.
Oh, me too.
And the book will be available. And when you get the book, you said that there's also the audio thing that goes with it as well.
Yeah, that'll be inside the book.
Do you get the music? Is that music with it as well?
Yeah, the music comes with it. So there'll be a QR code or a little, if you're not familiar with that, there's a website you can just type in and it will be, just be all there for you to listen to and download if you want to.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're coming back in is it next week or the week after?
I hope it's the week after. It's the 25th and 26th are the dates of the shows at the Ventnor Fringe.
Okay, and you're doing 2 days?
Yeah, two days at the Arts Club, 1 p.m.
And all I can say is go and see it, because if you love music, proper music, and you love stories, and you love the Isle of Wight, you will love this, I guarantee it. How wonderful. And is it going to be videoed as well?
I don't know. I haven't.
Because you said there's visuals as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's going to be a big projector in the background with the film. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll put a link on the website to how to book your tickets and advices to go. And obviously, the book is something really, really special. Really special. Congratulations on that.
Thanks very much.
And it's really lovely to meet you. And I can't believe you come. You're the only person who's ever come all the way from Birmingham just for an interview on Vectis Radio. I feel like you ought to be claiming some kind of money to get back.
I'm going to have a great day. I'm going out for lunch with my mum after this.
And we'll good.
Take our time getting back to the mainland.
Oh, good. Lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming down and being on Vectis Radio.
Thank you for having me.